All right, 3, 2, 1, let's get this party started. Welcome to the Gym Life Podcast, Fit, Jacked, and Stacked, one show to rule them all. I am your host, Joe Janiga. Thanks for joining me today. On today's show, we are going to be covering some topics we missed last weekend on Memorial Day weekend, talking about this big heat wave and getting ready for summer a little bit, gym culture, gym life, gym family and friends. That's going to be a kind of a fun conversation. That's going to be in honor of my friend Kurt Golden today. I'll share all that with you here in a minute. Of course, a lot of strongman stuff, a little more about the rankings, some Highland Games stuff, and a lot of European stuff I'm going to share with you guys today. A lot of European stuff. There's a lot going on around the world, not just in America. And I'll get to some of that, share some of these great feats of strength and what we might be anticipating down the road. So in any case, thanks for joining me today, everybody. I am ready to do a podcast today. You know, sometimes I get these topics like 3 or 4 and I just sort of, I compartmentalize them and I get going down the, you know, kind of down my list. Today I got a lot of stuff written down. Hopefully we'll get to it all and see if we can't make it flow a little bit for your listening pleasure out there. But oh, by the way, if you're looking for any part of the podcast that you might not find, I know a lot of you guys don't necessarily go to YouTube to listen to the podcast, which is great, right? It's a podcast. Go to a listening platform. None of you guys want to look at me anyhow. But I do generally put everything on YouTube, but lately I've been putting clips on, like 20, 30-minute segments of certain topics that I talked about that might resonate with most of you out there, just to make for easy listening, that sort of treadmill listening, that warm-up listening kind of stuff. I know a lot of you guys like to play the show on YouTube when you're in your own personal or home gyms, which I think is super cool. So thanks for doing that, guys. A shout-out to all you guys. But these are kind of just sort of more like gym life clips, more of a 20 or 30-minute itemized sort of conversation about maybe a particular topic. But you can always find the full episodes over on all the listening platforms, Spotify, YouTube, Apple, Google, all that stuff. Or not YouTube, but Spotify, Apple, Google. I think there's like 3 others as well. But that's a majority of what you guys listen to out there. And then I'll also sometimes put those same clips on the listening platforms. However, just to be safe, if you're looking for the full episode, you'll always find it on the listening platforms. And I know I missed last week's episode after about 4 or 5 days when I didn't upload it on YouTube and I just did the gym life clips. I just thought, what's the point? I'm going to do this show anyhow. I'll just remind you guys out there, if you're watching this one and you want to listen or watch the last episode, you can go over to Spotify and do that, or Apple, Google, whatever your listening platform is. So anyhow, sharing that with you. Little housekeeping, I guess. That's the housekeeping today. Oh, I mentioned last week, like, subscribe, share. Yeah, don't care. Comment. You guys commented so much last week. You gave me a lot of great feedback, which I appreciate. I'm going to touch on some of that stuff here today. A couple questions as well, particularly about the strongman rankings. I don't want to kick off the show with that today. I'm just going to fill in the blanks for you when we get there, because some of it's going to pertain to kind of this European talk that I'm going to give you in respect to some of the stuff going on over there. Just kind of coordinate the show a little bit, because there's a lot to talk about. I think the biggest thing to talk about right now is this heat wave. Summer is here. It's official. We talked about it last week. Memorial Day was a hot weekend for everybody, certainly in the Midwest, where we get generally 4 seasons, where a lot of you don't in the South and Southeast, Southwest. We do up here. And right now we are anticipating one long, hot summer. That's 90 degrees everywhere, for God's sake, right now. I think I looked at the map of the United States today. I don't think any place isn't above 85 anyhow. Which is exciting for all of us, I guess, right? Summer's here. A lot of fun stuff going on. The Memorial Day weekend was awesome because we got to do a lot of barbecuing and grilling and all that kind of stuff. I could tell you that I live in a townhouse, so I don't have the luxury of like a patio that permits me to put grills on it, because they forbid it here. So I am forced, of course, to go off to a park somewhere and grill, which actually I love to do. It's kind of like a little mini road trip, a little adventure. I take my son. We go to a park. I generally would just grill a lot of food as much as I can, you know, possibly grill on these small grills at the park. And I prep my food like that this time of year. Many of us don't have the luxury to do it year round on a grill, although there are some there's some grilling warriors out there that'll do it in like sub-zero temperatures. For most of us, this is grilling season and smoker season. Man, I went to a party the other day where a guy smoked some pork bellies. Oh, my God, it was just so indulgent. Oh, my God, it was so good. So that's on my list, actually, by a actual smoker. I know a lot of you guys are into that kind of thing already. I'm kind of catching up late. But, you know, now this new diet that I'm on that is largely protein with a little bit of vegetables, which, by the way, I'm down 28 pounds. I don't know if you guys can see it or not. I know my face still looks big on YouTube. But, yeah, I'm feeling great right now. Just great. So, yeah, good thing summer is kind of, I guess, reminding us it's here, because I got a little more work to do. and I'm not taking the foot off the gas pedal, because I could tell you, once we get to July, for me, it's pretty much over. I'm going to be indulging, camping, going on trips to concerts, things of that nature, and I can assure you there'll be a beer in my hand almost every day that I'm enjoying myself. And I'll certainly try to limit the sweets and the goodies, but I could tell you I'll be eating a lot of hamburgers and hot dogs. Yes, guys, hot dogs. I don't hate them, although I know they're not good for you. I indulge a bit in the summertime. But we're not going to get any PSAs on food right now. Let's not bring down the show. Last weekend, the one thing I missed that, I missed it because I'm not a CrossFitter, but it's just something I always found really cool in the CrossFit community. Was the Murph. You guys know about the Murph out there, right? About Lieutenant Michael Murphy, who had fallen in combat. So it's honoring the fallen on Memorial Day weekend. The CrossFit community, in large part, I think they started it. But now everybody does it, right? Any type of fitness person out there, I would say outside the strength community, does this Murph challenge, which is pretty crazy. I know a lot of us look at it initially and go, oh, that's nothing. 1 mile run, 200 push-ups, 100 pull-ups, 300 air squats, another mile run. Yeah, I think a lot of us overly confident types in the strength community are saying to themselves, oh, fuck, that's no problem. I can do that. That's so easy to do. I got news for you guys. I don't think there's a lot of people in our strength community, powerlifters, strongmen in particular, that can actually pull this off. I really don't. I don't think you guys could do it. I think you're overestimating your capabilities to do something like this. Or many of you are like me going, oh, fuck, I admit it. I can't do it. I mean, I could do it, right? But let's think about how long they're going to keep this place open to allow me to complete it. And I know sometimes there's these little cheats these guys and gals let you do, you know, about at certain CrossFit facilities. If you can't do this, then do this. Or, you know, if you're of a certain age or a certain size, maybe. I don't know. I've talked to some CrossFit friends about it, but I thought they said something about that. There's substitution moments. But the real Murph consisted of all those things. So I kind of broke it down. I'm thinking to myself, okay, how many guys and gals in the strength community could literally pull this off? More women than men, without a doubt. Most of you women are in great shape in the strength community. Most of you are. There's no doubt about it. More than us guys are. That's a fact. Most 80 and 90 guys are going to pull this off, no problem. Getting the 105, they're a little muscle bound. I don't know if they can do this, actually. I mean, I think they can get it done, but not as proficiently as they think they could. Now, most open guys or heavyweight guys, not a chance. You guys aren't doing this. I'd like to see some videos of you guys trying, that's for sure. And prove me wrong if I'm wrong, but I would say most heavyweight and open guys stand little to no chance to finishing this in a reasonable time, literally without like passing out or throwing up. I kind of broke it down. Mile run, okay, no problem. I'm not a fast runner. I can pull a mile off. I won't feel good afterwards. That's a straight mile, actually on real pavement, not on a treadmill. Yeah, I'm not going to do real well there, but I can do not impressive, guys. I get it. I can meander through 11 or 12 minute mile just sort of on a jog, right? Okay, so that's that. The next thing, of course, is I don't know in what order you have to do all these things, but I think the pull-ups might be next, or maybe there's no order. Which I hope there would be, because if there was an order to them, I'd do my push-ups next. I think every strength guy out there, heavyweight or open alike, could pull off 200 push-ups in 4 sets of 50 or 5 sets of 40, however you got to get there. Some of you guys can do them probably in 2 sets. I think I could probably do them in 4 sets of 50. It's more of a lactic acid buildup thing, honestly. Back in the military, I can do, sure, no problem, 200 push-ups in 1 set. I think a lot of you military guys would say the same, or former military guys. So the push-ups we can all get through. I'll give you that. The pull-ups, that's the real elephant in the room here. The pull-ups, 100 pull-ups? Oh, fuck. I got news for you. There's not many of you, including myself out there, that are good for maybe 1 set of 10, and they're half-assed for sure. Now, I get it. There's not a lot of judging when it comes to how your pull-ups are done, because I even seen some of these CrossFitters and their ridiculous pull-ups they do. So in our defense out there, strength community, I think no matter how we attempt that pull-up, it's good. But even 10 is a lot. I mean, I used to be able to do like 27 or 28 in the military, dead hangs. I think a lot of you guys at some point in your military days probably did the same thing, between 20 and 30 pull-ups. I'm good for 10 right now. I could do 10, but the problem is if I tried another 10, that number goes down real quick. I might be able to get in a second set of 10, like busting my nut to get it, and then after that I'm doing sets of 2 and sets of 3 because I'm spent. So there's a little bit of a gamesmanship that's got to be played in those pull-ups if you think about it. The pull-ups have to be done probably for most strength guys out there, I know a lot of you guys are going to laugh, but 20 sets of five. Yeah, sadly, 20 sets of five with at least a minute break in between, if not 2 minutes. So the pull-ups by themselves would probably take up more than half of the time you're going to do all the rest of these events. And I'm not even sure a lot of us can make it through 100 pull-ups one session. I get it. You could probably count all the shitty pull-ups you want, but at some point, you just got to stop counting the ones you're barely moving on. So I would argue most strength guys are not getting through the pull-ups on this. But you got the whole day to complete this thing, and there's not a time limit. So at some point, maybe we'll get through it as long as they want to keep the lights on. So the pull-ups, that sucks. Push-ups, okay. Mile run, not good, but we can get it done. The 300 air squats. Yeah, the 300 air squats, I know as easy as that sounds, right, because you're just squatting down with your hands in front of you and you're doing 300 of them as fast as you can do them. I would think that we can all get the parallel below. Yeah, you're going to get it to about 100, and your legs are going to give out on you, I promise. I get a lot of you guys squatting 500, 600 pounds, 700 pounds, you know, 405 for reps. Yeah, air squats are a different animal. That's a lactic acid buildup. That is a leg killer. I think we've all done them in the gym for like sets of 10 or 20. They get you pretty good. So 300 of them? Oh, boy. We're going to finish those. I know we'll all finish those. But I would say not without some throwing up somewhere in there, some really sore legs, something that would probably really inhibit our ability to do that 1 mile, that final 1 mile run. So they're scary, right? They're going to come right before that mile run. You're certainly not getting done with those fuckers and they're saying, okay, run the mile. I might need a 10-minute break before I ran the mile after that, or I might be falling over on my way to get through this mile. That's a fact. So I would say, again, for most strength athletes, excluding a couple out of certain categories, we're going to shit the bed on that. So congrats to all you CrossFit people that get out there and do this every year. In honor of Lieutenant Michael Murphy and honoring the fallen on Memorial Day. We need to get the strength community behind this just to support you guys because it's a great cause. And maybe next year we'll do something fun and try to make it become viral amongst the strength community. Maybe come up with our own sort of Murph, find some guy that we want to honor that was a big muscle head in the military that we can give a little love to and see whether or not we can do something of our own. But it's going to have to be tough, guys. Don't give me this 500-pound bench press bullshit and exclude the entire community. But let's, like, add a few categories to this, maybe some Ukrainians, and maybe add, like, shoulder pressing or something. Limit the reps and then give us a few more categories. I think we might be able to do that. But in large part, they try to mimic what you might do in the military, that kind of thing. Push-ups, pull-ups in particular. And, of course, running. We know we run a lot in the military. So, yeah, I forgot that Murph. So that's worth mentioning. Memorial Day weekend, that's a tradition now throughout our country, and I think it's super awesome. And I did get to witness it 1 year, and it was pretty fun to kind of watch. I was near a CrossFit facility kind of in my car watching these guys and gals do this stuff outside. It was really cool, really, really cool. Kudos to all you CrossFitters out there. It's a little love to you today. And everybody else, of course, who does this to lend to the support. You guys know I did an interview with Sarah Schiff. Well, I'll get on to that. So Sarah Schiff is the current deadlift world record holder, all-time world record, heaviest deadlift in powerlifting. And I need to make this clear because this is important because you're going to hear a lot of talk about deadlifting over the next couple weeks. Sarah Schiff owns the all-time heaviest world record deadlift in powerlifting, which is a scored lift. That's a no straps, no hitching, perfect form. The powerlifting judging is kind of bullshit as it is. So I guarantee it was really, really, really perfect form. And that was 640. I forgot to write that one down, but I think it was 642 pounds. Okay, so Victoria Long, by the way, owns the American world record heaviest strong woman deadlift. I guess American record, not world record. And that is 652 pounds. So, yeah, 652. Sarah's might have been 641. Victoria's is 652. Now, a strongman deadlift, of course, includes straps and hitching. Just get it up. There's only a down command. Doesn't matter how you get it up. You rest it on your knees, keep moving with it. And then, of course, they do it on different apparatuses now, which is really, really confusing. They do it on elephant bars, which are built differently to hold more weight. They do it on a stiff bar. They do it on an axle bar. They do it on, I guess there's a Kratos bar now. And there's probably a rogue bar, whatever, right? There's all these different bars now that every one of them's got sort of their own deadlift number or record attached to it, which I don't think many of us pay mind to. As far as we're concerned, there's two. There's the heavy, maybe axle deadlift on its own, but there's one anyhow. That one, of course, is the heaviest deadlift of all deadlifts. It doesn't make a difference. Whatever that weight was for the heaviest deadlift to be lifted off the ground, that's how we recognize it in strongman records. So Victoria Long in the United States owns the American women's world record heaviest deadlift ever performed, elephant bar deadlift from the Arnold Classic, and that was 652 pounds. So that's a big deadlift, of course. We know this. Sarah's at 641. In powerlifting, that was judged, that's a big deadlift. Lucy Underdown just broke her world record strong woman deadlift at 672 pounds in the ultimate strong woman, ultimate strongman, United Kingdom strongest. She actually broke her own record in that. So we have three massive deadlifters that we're kind of talking about here all at once. I interviewed Sarah, so if you want to go listen to that interview, because Sarah is going to be taking on Victoria, all over the board here, guys. Bear with me. Sarah is going to be taking on Victoria. Not really taking on. They're going to be doing it together. It's not really a competition per se, but they're both now going to attempt, at the time before Lucy actually broke her own record, was a 661-pound world record strong woman deadlift. Now that has gone up to 672 pounds, so a little more challenge of those two ladies. But they're competing at the U90 Classic, kind of at the intermission, to try to break the current world record in strongwoman, which is now, again, 672 pounds, and also attempting to go to 700. Talk is that's really going to be the mark to get to 700. So Sarah had a little conversation with me about that. She's really excited to do this because in powerlifting, of course, you don't have the ability to hitch or use straps. So it's or a deadlift suit for that matter, in her particular raw class, which she owns that record. So it's going to be really fun for her, and she's fairly confident she's going to get to that record, if not go to 700 pounds. We saw Victoria Long do it at the Arnold. She had plenty in the tank. They didn't give her a fourth attempt to go any heavier. Not that that broke her heart. She won the American record for sure. But now we all know in the back of our heads, boy, if Victoria came in fresh at the U90 Classic, we're going to see a much higher number than 652, if not up towards that 700-pound mark. So her and Sarah are very, very similar, I guess you could say, as far as how we would compare them to go after this new world record and then potentially go over that infamous 700-pound deadlift. No woman is, of course, I just mentioned the top three, no woman has ever performed it, nor did we ever think, most of us out there anyhow, and we can all admit to this, 2 or 3 years ago, that we would even be talking about a 700-pound deadlift in the women's class. Just crazy to even talk about, to mention, and to think about we could witness history here in just a couple months. So let me circle back around. The whole Lucy Underdown thing that just happened at Ultimate Strongman over the weekend, and I'm going to talk more about that show in a minute because it was just an awesome show. That interesting. First off, I believe she was invited to Chaos. I don't know what that led to, or perhaps if she was going to wait to say that she'd go, or she said she wasn't going to go, or she just hadn't responded yet. Now I know why, of course, because she was competing in the Ultimate Strongman competition for United Kingdom's Strongest, and she was there, and she was going to attempt the record there. So she now beat her own record. She's got two ladies coming to the U90 Classic to try to now beat her newly established record. Wouldn't it be cool? And this is a shout out to everybody out there that knows Lucy, including you, Lucy, and hopefully you listen to my show. I highly doubt it, but you might. Lucy, if you listen to this show, I couldn't imagine the most badass lineup in a deadlifting competition in my life, having you, Sarah, and Victoria there all pulling to beat your record. Wouldn't that be cool, guys? And I hope she does accept that invitation. I know that Rhea and Luke extended it to her, but to have all three of those ladies in the same, same competition or same event, all attempting to go over that 700-pound mark, I think that would be super cool. So let's get on the bandwagon here and try to talk Lucy into joining that show and getting that done. Now, a lot of you out there going, well, Joe, she just pulled 672. What are her real chances of pulling over 700? Guys, if you watch that video of her 672, just much like Victoria's video of her 652, I'm going to get my twos and ones all screwed up. They were clean, man. Those lifts were powerlifting clean. Now, again, the advantage was she was wearing straps. There was no hitching in either of those two ladies' lifts at 652 or at 672 or 652. That's the crazy thing about it. I'm really curious if Lucy were to hitch that. She didn't have to. At that point, she got it pretty easily, as a matter of fact, if you watch the video, much like Victoria got her lift. There was more in the tank, for sure. And the idea that if either of those two ladies decide to hitch their pulls and also were in a competition where it was a standalone event, I think that would be pretty interesting to see. And I do think that Lucy would break her record. I do. And that's what's making this real interesting. Because we got our guys got to remember, first Sarah and Victoria actually have to get to a record, which is not an easy task, 672. So the real question is, who's going to go over or make the first attempt at 700? Because I do believe both the girls, if not Lucy, would come back and immediately attempt a lift bigger than her previous 672 world record. We're going to see a 680 pull to start. I guarantee it, guys. Something to start to break the record outside of a few warm-ups. And then these girls are going to go right to 700. My prediction is Sarah and Victoria will both break the existing strong woman world record at 672 and let the chips fall where they may at that 700-pound pull. I don't think these ladies are messing around. I think literally they'll go 673, 674, and then try to pull 700. To be the first woman in the history of the world to ever pull 700 pounds in any kind of deadlift is an amazing title to hold. And remember, if you're the first at any century mark, we're always going to remember you. The first guy to bench 1,000, the first guy to bench 1,100, who, oh, by the way, was Jimmy Kolb. And now I think he's up to like 1,300. We don't forget things like that. We don't forget like the first 300-pound log. Of course, I kind of do now. There's a lot of girls that lifted. I think it was Inez, honestly. And mind you, and not in competition. I think in competition, it was Victoria Long again. So, okay, there you go. Victoria's probably going to be attached to a lot of those first when it comes to, and so was Rebecca Roberts. So was, of course, Lucy Underdown, Sarah Schiff, of course. There's others that are out there that are probably going to be attached to a lot of these first, much like Rhea Lovelace is in the women's side of things. So a lot of these names are very familiar, I know. So if any of that made sense to you, we are got a chance now to witness history at the U90 Classic with Sarah Schiff, of course, and Victoria Long. Let's add Lucy Underdown to it, and let's just have the best, most amazing attempt at breaking a world record and potentially that 700-pound mark that we've ever seen in one location at a single time with three of the most amazing deadlifters on the planet. Wow. Okay, that was a mouthful, but that would be super, super cool. So a little segue for you. Because Lucy was in the Ultimate Strongman, and this was over there in England this weekend. I don't know if a lot of you guys in the States pay a lot of attention to Ultimate Strongman, and it's official Ultimate Strongman on IG. Official Ultimate Strongman on IG, again. You have to get on there. You have to check this out. I got a few things to say about Ultimate Strongman right now. Drink of water. Okay. Ultimate Strongman is badass. Plain and simple. If you are a promoter of strongman, and I get it, you may not have the resources that Ultimate Strongman has. Certainly, you're not in the location like they are over there in the UK where they pack stadiums with this stuff and they're spectating audiences through the roof. If you watch these videos in this arena they're in, much like Giants Live, they pack them in. So they're able maybe to put a little bit more behind their promotions based off of ticket sales and that sort of thing. And, of course, sponsors and stuff. But they really do it right. And some of the things I like about it are their take on certain events. Everything looks professional. It looks customized. It has a very unique vibe to it and a very unique feel to it as far as the way the arena's set up and the way these competitors are competing. Very, very professional. I mean, it really looks like an organization that is on top of the world when it comes to the sport because everything they do is very streamlined, right down to how their mats are laid out in their lanes and how the lanes are broke down and the even the you know, the things that, of course, separate between the lanes and the apparatus themselves are not makeshift, or there's not all different types of it. And I'm not suggesting other promoters don't do this, but they go out of their way to do things just a little bit differently as well. I thought one of the most interesting, most interesting event that I seen there was the incline log press. So essentially, if you guys know what an inversion table looks like, or any type of upright bench, I guess, if you were looking at an incline bench, not quite a 60 degree, maybe it was more of a 70 or 75 degree, but this bench sat behind the log. It was in a stationary position at about 70 degrees, it looks like. These guys would pick the log up, back up into the bench, then roll it up onto their chest, and they do an incline log press. I just thought that was super innovative. What a great looking event. It's a lot of fun. I know we all practice that in the gym. A lot of us strongmen do, or a lot of even regular gym people do, because there's a lot of logs laying around these days. And that's kind of how we do it. We have our friends kind of lift it up to our knees, and we roll it back onto our chest, and we kind of incline bench it. It makes for a great, it makes for a great like variation to like a closed grip bench, pour in an incline form with log. I love it. A lot of power behind it. And it looked great. I mean, they had several lanes, and all these different, you know, benches were set up at 70 degrees, and they were all, you know, they were all uniform looking, and it just looked fantastic. I thought that was number one that I really liked about that. The stadium, of course, was great. I thought the they did this ring wrestling. It looked like two guys were fighting over a hula hoop, essentially. I've never seen it before. It was an interesting, like almost like a Moss wrestling style, but inside of like a wrestling or sumo circle. I don't quite know what the rules were, but boy, it was fun to watch. I think realistically, a lot more fun to watch than like a tug of war, that's for sure. So that was super cool. The truck pull was very nice. They had this beautiful semi truck. They were pulling that, and that was inside the stadium, and those lanes made it look real cool as well. And this, just the overall vibe that it gave off there. You know what I really, really appreciate too? And maybe some of you guys don't out there, but they all wear singlets. Cause all these countries that represent the United Kingdom, you know, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, you know, England, of course. I'm sure I'm forgetting. I'm not from Scotland, Ireland, Wales. Anyhow, I'm sure I'm forgetting a couple of you guys out there. But in any case, they all have their specific singlet that they wear. It's got their name on the back of it, Ultimate Strongman on the front of it. And then it's kind of got their crest or whatever it is their logo might be for that particular country. Their flag, I think. But I thought the Irish guys had like an Irish cross on theirs. Talk about super cool. I mean, they're just uniformed. They look like professional athletes out there. They look like they're a professional organization promoting a show, not just T-shirts. And no knock on OSG. I'm wearing my OSG shirt here on the show today, which is, again, somewhat uniform. They just do it right. I'm not so sure if we'll ever see singlets over here. I don't think a lot of us want to wear them, but I think they're super cool. So shout out to Ultimate Strongman. And we're going to be getting a lot of more talk about, or a lot more information from Ultimate Strongman. And we're going to get a lot more information about the European scene in general, because we are going to think about, I shouldn't even say that, all right? That's a hesitation. No thinking about it. You guys have made your voices very, very loud and clear when it comes to these rankings over the last 3 or 4 weeks. The rankings that we've been talking about were largely, we were discussing doing North American rankings. And it was all, you know, you guys loved it, and you got a lot of great feedback and a lot of great feedback that we kind of used to develop sort of the way we were going to come up with these rankings, because we wanted to make it as least subjective as possible and add some objectivity to it, like records, perhaps, finishes in particular shows, you know, the capabilities of these athletes that are actually recorded times and reps and those type of things, you know, how and exactly how we're going to tweak that. Not sure, but it was going to be, of course, a mix of some subjectivity and some objectivity. So we thought that if we just did the North American rankings, that would be the most, that would be the easiest way to legitimize sort of a legit rankings with kind of our, within our bubble. I know there's a lot of us that pay attention to the rest of the world, but maybe not as in detail as we should to include the rest of the world in our rankings. So without people's, our people who have this type of their eyes on it, like we do our own sport over here, it would be very, very difficult to do a world ranking system. But the more we were talking about the rankings, the more we were talking about how we were going to do them with Canada and the rest of North America and the United States. You guys would give me kind of your feedback saying, well, yeah, what if we have all these Europeans that are competing in our events, wouldn't it be fair to include them? And you're not wrong. A lot of them do travel over, at least the ones we see, right? We see the Kate Conleys and the Rhea Lovelaces, and we see some of the Olga Lychaks and some of these others, and maybe some of them live here. I get that. But they compete in these events, and to say that if we're not going to include them, because they do kind of – they have a lot of influence over these events over here, the bigger events that we're using as the criteria – it kind of started a conversation on my end with the people that I'm involved with trying to put together these rankings for you. And the consensus has been we really need to find a way to include the rest of the world in this. The more I thought about it, yeah, it does. It makes sense. It does make sense, guys. It's a bigger undertaking for sure. But to do our rankings in the strongman community justice, we can't leave out the rest of the world. It goes back to kind of this idea of American exceptionalism, right? And the idea that, you know, the idea that there's a bigger picture to our strongman community global than there is by ourselves here in North America. As much as we'd like to think that we are the cat's pajamas when it comes to this sport and those great athletes that we have, and we have some great athletes that are a part of this sport, we are just a small piece of it on a global level because, boy, there are some world beaters out there that need to have their names recognized in our own community here in the United States as much as we need our better athletes recognized over there in Europe and beyond so we can have a global presence with our sport. And there's no better way to do it than to try to come up with a way to rank all of the global community together. As I'm saying this out loud, I'm going, oh, my God, this is going to be a ton of work. But we're going to make it easy, and I'll kind of explain to you the evolution of this thought. And, you know, this is an evolution, guys, so be patient, please. We just started this conversation about a month ago, and it's very, very important that when we roll this out, that it's going to be something that's going to resonate legitimately with all you guys. It'd be real easy for four or five guys to sit in a room on a chat call or something to one another and talk about who we want to rank our top 10. But if we don't really think this through and have the right athletes coming from the right events and the right places and not miss anybody and that sort of thing, this isn't going to be anything but like strongman fodder. It's going to be something to talk about barely, and we want to make sure it's legitimate to recognize the best athletes in our sport. So I reached out to Luke Davies and got Luke Davies on board. As many of you know, he's a friend of mine and a part of Chaos Strength Promotions. And Luke is probably one of the most versed people in the sport of strongman when it comes to recognizing everybody globally. His finger is always on the pulse. Luke knows the strongman community, I would argue, better than anybody out there, to be honest with you, or as good as anybody out there. So he's one person that I reached out to that said, Luke, we need to get you on board. He agreed. Yeah, absolutely. Let's do the global rankings. Reached out to a few other people waiting to hear back. I reached out to strengthresults.com. Strength Results, as many of you know, is a big player in competitions, getting competition results to you guys and other competition news and information. I want them on board with this as well, so I'm going to have a meeting this week or a call with Strength Results to talk about how we can kind of use what they're doing to get our information and be able to share information, cross information to each other's, I guess, a brand or idea when it comes to the rankings, it comes to strength results, and get, again, lend that objectivity to all this because there's some legitimate stats that come through there for some of the biggest competitions in the world, like SCL and Ultimate Strongman and OSG and, you know, all the ones that we know that are kind of really globally recognized. So what we're going to do then is we're getting this collective of people within our community now that are going to break our own borders here in North America because of the six or seven so far that we had in North America and growing, of course, that we're going to be a part of this AP poll or this pollsters now is going to kind of double or triple in size with other people from around the world that are big in their own strength communities. Australia is going to be another one. I'm going to reach out to some guys over there. Of course, Europe and Great Britain are big players as well. and if there's any type of connection or any type of contact that we can make in other parts of the world, we're going to do that. So these people can have an opportunity to lend their subjectivity and as much of an objective nature to their own ranking to pool together with everybody else's from other parts of the world and largely North America and Europe, and to come up with a legitimate ranking top 10 as close as we can possibly get it. Sounds like a huge undertaking. I mentioned on my last couple shows it was. That's why we weren't doing it. Why not? Oh, fuck. Let's just try it. I'm all for it. I'm all for it because we got really good people involved in it. And, yeah, I feel like it can be done. Now, that's just putting the brakes on a little bit now because ultimately we wanted to start rolling these out. I think we're still going to roll the 64s out next week before the big PSL event. I don't want to say that's an easy one to rank, but it's fairly easy to rank compared to maybe some of the men's classes. That's a fact. The men's classes get really, really, really deep. I think the 64s with Luke's help and the other guys that I got on board, we can look at some of these shows of the past 12 months and really come up with a legitimate ranking system in the 64s. Hey, does anybody have an objection to putting Rhea Lovelace number one in that list? I don't think so. So there's one out of 10, really easy to get to. There's also several others, as we know, like Holly McRae, Kate Conley, Chloe Brennan, I think, is a 64 still, although she might be a 73. I mean, there's others that probably, and Kira Rickson. We get what I'm saying, guys? We could come up really quick with, you know, five or six, fill in the next four, three or four athletes, come up with an overall top 10, and then rank them from there based on performances and head-to-head and that kind of thing. So not the most difficult thing to do with that 64 class, but it does get respectfully harder and harder as we move through some of these other classes, in particular the open men and some of the men's categories, maybe not so much the 105s. The 90s might sort itself out as early as the U90 Classic with the lineup that Luke's got there. So this will become easier, but in the beginning, we want to make sure that, you know, we're taking our time to get this right when we launch it. And we don't want it to be, we don't want it to have holes in it. And we want it to resonate with you guys to be as legitimate as we can possibly make it. So, so there's the news. We're going to go global with this. There's going to be a lot of people involved in it, not just a few podcasters from the America side of thing, but we're going to get some other people involved from around the world that are going to lend their thoughts and certainly their expertise when it comes to knowing the strong man and strong woman community, as well as some of us do over here. Okay, so that's that. The next question was, how are we going to determine what shows are going to be viable for the rankings? Again, you can't compete in local shows and get ranked. It's as simple as this. We are going to come up with a short list of shows that are going to determine rankings because, as we know, the best strong men and strong women compete at the best and biggest shows. And we'll start with the World's Strongest Man. Absolutely, open heavyweights are going to be ranked. That's right, open heavyweights. So we're going to have a top 10 in our World's Strongest Man category. And I say World's Strongest Man with those athletes. Now, mind you, there's going to be some athletes that never make it to the World's Strongest Man that are probably going to be on our list outside the people that we know that are going to be those top, you know, obviously Mitch Hooper's going to be number one. I don't think any of us will contest that. But you get where I'm going with this. Our open class is going to be top 10 of the best open strongmen in the world. We're not excluding anybody. So World's Strongest Man obviously is an event that we would consider. The Arnold Classic on all levels, amateur, through all of the pro events at the Arnold Classic with strong men and strong women be recognized. We're going to recognize all the PSL events, formerly Clash. As we know, they always attract the best athletes in all those classes throughout the year. We're going to include probably more than likely Strongman Corp Nationals, USS Nationals, if we can identify some even bigger shows there that might have some influence. Regionals might be that, right? We can argue that maybe regionals can have some influence. We haven't quite determined that yet. OSG, of course, Europe, OSG over here in the United States, the Strongman Champions League, of course, Ultimate Strongman, Australia's Strongest International is going to be a part of this, and probably some other global events that we're not thinking of at the moment, particularly in Australia. I want to talk to the guys over there to come up with maybe another event or two that could lend to that side of the, you know, in that southern hemisphere over there, as far as what's going on in their community and who needs to be mentioned, at least, you know, as an idea to add to these lists from other parts that maybe we're not seeing clearly enough because obviously it's halfway around the world. So the undertaking is going to be quite a bit larger, but we're going to take our time to get there. We're going to continue to talk to people whose eyes are on this sport all over the world, at least, if not certainly in their own area, better than anybody else, so we can continue to grow this and make it legitimate. I'm going to be reaching out to a lot of you guys as well, because we want to make it stateside here to get some people that are kind of outside our bubble as well. And I say that kind of media bubble that I'm working with, because I know there's two or three out there, and I talk to you kind of on a daily basis too. So some of you guys might know this is coming, that you can lend your opinions as well, because I think we want a nice collective of thoughts and minds. I don't want to just limit it to guys that talk about strongman all the time, like myself. I think there are certain coaches that would be great for this, that are very unbiased, that could lend to what they see out there when it comes to ranking any one of these classes. I also think there's just some guys out there who are ex-strong men or strong women that are just huge in the sport, that are always at these events, that recognize all these athletes on a larger level, that could also lend a really cool perspective to all this. So we're growing, guys. So be patient about the rankings. The rankings are coming. And I think a lot of you will appreciate the fact that we're now going to do the rankings global. We're getting more people involved globally, and we're going to be really kicking off something here that I think is going to be legitimate, and we're all going to kind of gravitate towards every single year as we go through all these great competitions in our strongman community. So be patient. We're going to get these rankings worked on almost on a daily basis. I'm chatting with somebody. We're getting our list together. We are going to make an attempt to get out our first rankings prior to the PSL 64 in Colorado on June 17th. Hopefully we can get that out the middle of next week. That'll be our very first global ranking, the U64s. So stay tuned. All right. That was cool. That was cool. Talked about all that good stuff. I wanted to kind of talk about, another thing today that, I'm not going to put a somber light on this, albeit it was very, very dear to my heart. A friend of mine passed away. His name was Kirk Golden. He was a gym buddy of mine. And I don't think Kirk would have it any other way than to talk about this and his passing with a lot of love behind it for our gym culture and the love that we shared amongst each other as friends in the gym. And that's kind of how I want to present his passing today, as a celebration of a great gym life. And I think that's a really good way to talk about it. And Kirk's, much like all of the other friends, and this is what resonates, I think, with a lot of you guys out there, is Kirk is an example of a friend that we meet in the gym that becomes better than a friend, closer than a friend, like our gym family. And that's kind of what I thought about when I thought about Kirk and all the times that I got to share in great conversation with him at the gym about everything, right? Because that's the cool part about our gym culture, our competition culture, our lifting culture, is that we're all cut from the same rug. And it's so easy to love these people when we meet them, albeit we can be from all different walks of life and not know each other from Adam when it comes to going in the gym for the very first time. But we have a common denominator, and that's our love for working out and our love for being in the gym. So it's really easy for us to fall into these friendships with one another that that we look forward to every time we open that gym door. And there's that guy standing there or that gal standing there that immediately, as soon as you walk in the door, you're greeted by these people that are essentially your family. And you may not see him anywhere else. You may not see him anywhere else in life. Kirk's an example of that. I lifted with him for years and years, ran into him at different gyms. We always had great conversations about working out. We always had great conversations about our athletics and stuff that we were doing. But our conversations extended further than that in the gym. We talked about family and business and life and love for life. And, Kirk was that kind of guy that I remember. He was full of life. That guy loved life. I mean, a very successful guy in his own right, but he never looked at his success through the things he owned or possessed, but the people that he knew and loved, like his family and his kids and his friends in the gym. And he showed that, and I think we all kind of do. But I want to give a special love towards Kurt for that, because I remember him for that. And I think that's how I want to be remembered too. So God bless you, Kirk. But in any case, these gym friends and these family that we develop at the gym is very, very unique. And I think I don't think we should ever overlook that. I think we have to reflect on that sometimes. Again, because we maybe only see these people in the gym, and we, you know, and the gym door opens up, and when we're leaving the gym door closes, and our friends and family are still inside the gym, and we'll catch up with them again tomorrow or the next day or the next week at the same time. But we know more about them probably than we do most of the friends that we have outside the gym in our lives, because that certain time where we get to share 3 or 4 or 5 minutes of conversation with these people, it's a very genuine, very fulfilling 3 or 4 minutes in between working out. It's very rare that you stand in the gym for many of us and have a 30 or 40 minute conversation with somebody. But when you think about the accumulation of all the time that we spend in our gym lives at the gym or working out, and the 2 or 3 minutes each time we have a chance, like I did with Kirk, to talk about life, to talk about working out, to talk about family and things that are going on in his life and my life, we only really took 2 or 3 minutes, or 4, maybe some days we'd share the last 10 minutes of our workout over a shake or something and having that type of conversation. But when you look at it in the grand scheme of things, it's not a lot of time. But over the course of our gym lives together, we spent a lot of time talking about things. We added that time up and we accumulated all these great moments together that really shared each other's lives with one another, much like we all do with people in the gym and our gym lives. I just think that deserves mention, because these people end up becoming very, very close friends to us, and in many ways, family. And that's how I remember all these relationships, whether or not these people are no longer in my life because of circumstances or moving in life, or perhaps they passed away like Kirk. They're important people, and they're building blocks to the characters that we all are. We always attribute these people and places in our lives that kind of build our own character for those of us in our gym culture and our gym lives. But I don't think we give enough credit to all these people in the gym that we meet, that we build these wonderful relationships with through the course of our lives. And we start adding up those 2 and 3 and 4 and 10 minute conversations over the course of the year. They had come to days and days, right, of talking to somebody, legitimately having good quality, heartfelt conversation outside of what we generally would get in public, which is a conversation in passing that's not much to remember. Or there's not much worth behind it. The conversations we share with people in the gym are much, much deeper than that. They really are. I can remember sharing so many fun conversations with Kirk just about things that I wouldn't, you know, that it wasn't weightlifting. It was in between all that and how we recognize things. And really, it was just the idea that the gym brought us together to share in each other's friendship. It was the catalyst, but not necessarily the component that ran or directed our conversation every day. So I don't know. Maybe I'm rambling a little bit about this, but I think a lot of you guys know where I'm coming from when I talk about gym family and gym friends. They're very unique to the development of all of our characters out that have spent any significant time in the gym, because you may meet somebody for 5 minutes one day, and maybe over the course of 3 weeks, you spent 30 minutes or 40 minutes talking to them. But over the course of a few years or a decade of going to a gym and talking to that same individual over and over again, you become an important part of their life. And you certainly have a special friendship with that person, because it's accumulated into many, many days of really good, deep, and heartfelt conversation. I want to recognize that today in honor of Kirk Golden and you know, everything that he meant to me as a friend in the gym. And a guy who was a workout maniac. He was that guy, you know, that guy that lifted a lot of weight, and that guy that was a big athlete in college and high school, and the guy that had his ups and downs and aches and pains like the rest of us did when it came to training and competing and that sort of thing. But day in and day out, he walked through that door with a smile on his face, always shared a great conversation, and always got the work done. And in the end, that's all I want to be known for. I just want to be known in my gym life and my gym culture that I'm a part of, that I just came in the gym every day and I just worked hard through all the adversity of life. And I maybe shared in some fun conversations with a few of you out there. And maybe someday I can be that guy that becomes a part of your gym family or a part of your gym life that maybe lent to everything that you're about in your own life. And I know a lot of you have had that kind of impact on me. And Kirk Golden was certainly one of those guys. So God bless you, Kirk. Get those plates loaded.
because we're all heading where you're heading someday. You're just getting a head start, and we'll catch you at the gym sometime up behind the pearly gates. So that's my shout out to Kurt Golden today. And God bless you, and God bless his family for having to deal with that. Never a fun thing. So yeah, that's never easy to come back after a conversation like that. You guys know I get emotional in my brain about stuff like that, but I think our culture runs much, much deeper than we give it credit for sometimes. And that's why we always make this, this is not a part of who we are anyhow. This is who we are. This is like breathing, walking for us, many of us out there, when it comes to competition in our gym culture and our gym lives. Let's go back to Europe. Let's make another flyover to Europe right now. No, great segue, right? Hey, Joe, let's talk about your friend. Let's go back over to lifting. But why not? Let's talk about lifting. That's the way Kirk would want it. Let's go talk about lifting. Talk about some more fun times. Sarah Bradley, she's from Germany. She's an 82 competitor, guys. Some of you guys probably know Sarah. Sarah is a 82 athlete that's podiumed at OSG three times, I think two bronzes and a silver. By the way, only getting bigger, better, and badder, more badass, I should say. She just broke the stone lifting world record at a contest over there. I'm not really familiar with how that is scored. It was 230 kilograms to 60.2 centimeters, I think it was, which essentially was a lockout. So it depends on where that handle is. Because if you're not familiar with stone lifting, I think it's Bavarian stone lifting, it's like a Ukrainian deadlift, essentially. You're on a platform, sort of, feet spread, handles between your legs, very low pull, well below the knees, almost like an ankle pull. And in this case, there was a big stone attached to it. I think it was a stone. It was hard to see. And she just broke the record. But maybe not as impressive as how she looked and how fucking strong she looks. Sarah Bradley. That's somebody to consider, right? As soon as I saw Sarah, it made me realize how important these world rankings were when we do these ranking lists, because we need to recognize athletes like that from around the world. So shout out to her. I thought the stone lifting world record was it was interesting. It was new to me. I know we all like that Ukrainian-style deadlift. So I don't know, something to look up, guys, if you're looking to maybe have some fun sometime if you're over in Europe and get into a contest and say, I want to try to break the stone lifting world record. I know some of us would do pretty well at it. Certainly all you fucking sumo guys and sumo girls would love that one. So go ahead, knock yourself out. Sean Logan, another guy from England over there. Again, I think we just need to keep pointing these people out. Sean Logan, strong. He did the I'm sorry. He did. I think it was just a standalone event. Actually, he is another part of the 1,000-pound deadlifts club. By the way, Sean, that was a great deadlift. Well, again, we talk about suits, we talk about straps, we talk about hitching, but a lot of times when you see these like world records or these major like milestone type lifts that are being done by strong men and strong women out there, you're seeing some pretty damn good lifts. Even Sarah Schiff said if Victoria Long was scored in her lift in a powerlifting judging scenario, that would have been a perfect lift for her 652-pound American record. Sean, yours was the same. That 1,000-pound deadlift was legit. So a lot of these guys and gals are kind of just not even choosing to go with the hitch technique to manipulate this weight up. They're simply going with a good, strict, conventional deadlift pull with straps and a suit in this case. But he's a part of the 1,000-pound club, so check that, Sean. That was recognized. I'd love to see that. And then, of course, I can't go without mentioning Big Laz today. He's been on a big comeback for quite a while now. As we know, Laz was a perennial World's Strongest Man competitor. Now, of course, he has his YouTube channel, Big Laz, and it's awesome. He covers all these events. He's one of the major personalities in our sport today when it comes to media and announcing. And I've got a chance to meet him a couple times. Really cool dude. He has actually made his comeback now, leaned up, looks amazing, super athletic. He won Britain's Strongest Masters over the weekend at the 40-plus division, and I think he did it pretty handedly. He looked ominous, as you would expect. He's still a really big puller, very, very strong guy, really high leverages on him. So congratulations, Laz. I think that's going to be really interesting. This is actually setting up something that is going to be maybe at OSG this year. Now, of course, he may just be doing OSG Europe. But if he is Zydrunas doing OSG Europe this year? If OSG is in Europe and the United States, I can't wait to see these lineups. Now, I will say this. I hope Laz decides to, and I think Zydrunas will as well, because he's back-to-back champ over here in the United States. I think they'll both still come over and do OSG here. And if they do, isn't that going to make for an interesting lineup in that 40-plus Masters division? I said it before, guys. I think that Masters class is going to become the most interesting class to watch over the next few years, both the 40-plus and 50-plus division, because essentially you're just getting these big, strong names that competed as open and lighter guys that are now just a little bit older but still in amazing, amazing condition, because as we know, we can make it further along in this sport in one piece that doesn't limit our ability to compete at a very high level. And OSG is going to get really interesting. So is that Chad Coy show July 8th, the PSL Masters event at Central States. Again, another big lineup. So we're going to talk more about Masters, biasly, of course, because I'm a master, but get ready, guys. That Masters class is going to start blowing up. And if you didn't get a chance to qualify for OSG in the Masters class prior to last year, I will tell you this. It's not going to be an easy feat moving forward, because more and more guys that are competing at a very high level in that 30-plus class in the open division are now graduating into Masters, and you may never sniff that level of competition again if you're a guy that doesn't work hard as a master to get there. Some guys are just naturally talented enough to kind of cross the line to get there. I think that we're going to see a very high bar being set in our Masters classes now that is going to require guys to really think outside the box when it comes to preparing themselves for competition, maintaining their strength, and most importantly, avoiding injury. So stay tuned for that Masters class. That Masters class is going to be probably one of the best classes to watch in strongman and even strongwoman moving forward over here in the next couple, 2 or 3 years. So anyhow, shout out to all you guys. Highland Games. We talked about that last week. There was a cool competition that Strongman Corp did called the Viking Fest over the weekend. If you guys didn't get a chance to see any video on that or footage on that, I'm not sure it was, I don't think they live streamed it, but I got to see some folks that were competing in it. And it's exactly how I talked about how much fun a Viking-type games would be. They had several Highland Games events in it and several Strongman events. The Weight Over Bar, I think, was one of them, or they did something over bar. Of course, kilt wearing and all that stuff was involved. The pageantry was much the same as a Highland Games festival or competition. Again, shout out to the Viking Fest. That was a lot of fun to watch all that cool stuff that you guys were doing there. Certainly the pageantry of it, the summertime festival, everything you had going on there, kind of around the trees in a field kind of thing. Very, very, very cool. And I hope a lot of you guys still get into that conversation I had last week about Highland Games, which, oh, by the way, I'll clip and post as a standalone under Gym Life Clips. Because, again, I want you guys to be able to find this stuff pretty easy and have some fun listening to it. But we're going to talk more about Highland Games next week. I say that because I'm going to be with some guys training over the next week or two. And I'll just have some good stuff to share with you. I'm going to start breaking it down per event. So I'm going to start sending questions out to all you guys. Maybe that I can share with Eric the Giant or my buddy Cam Newkirk. Eric the Giant just did his first pro competition, took third last weekend in Alma, Michigan. And you guys have heard me talk about Eric on the show once or twice. He's 6'7", 6'8". I think he's taller than that. Sorry, Eric. You're probably 6'10". Close to 400 pounds. He's as big as Thor is. And he's been training harder. And, oh, by the way, he's a kid. He's, like, in his 20s. The dude's literally a giant. He's getting bigger and stronger every day, especially the way he trains. So there might be some training knowledge that I can share with you as well. Maybe I'm not as versed as I could be in it yet, but I'm going to talk to Eric about that and kind of get some things from him that I can bring back on the show and share with you guys and gals out there that are considering training for Highland Games or your first competition, because I want to help foster that along for you. If possible, because I love Highland Games. Almost there. Triceps almost healed. I got about 3 or 4 more weeks. It's feeling better and better every day. I'm bench pressing again, very lightweight, of course. I don't feel any pain at all. So I'm very close. I think July 1st, right around that first week of July, will put me in a real good time frame to start testing the tricep out a little bit. And if it's any indicator right now about how I'm feeling as opposed to where I'm going to be, I'm really excited about it. That's called working around an injury for a long time in my life. That's finally 100% being healed. So that might open some really good doors for me in pressing. I can't wait. And in this new lightweight that I'm working with right now, 267, guys, Completely natural, by the way. I swear to God. I know you got, of course, what does that mean though, right? I'm not even running TRT right now. I just said, fuck it, I'm going to run. I'm going to run, jog. I'm going to lift, do a lot of HIIT work. I'm going to do whatever I can do. I feel good enough right now where I'm like, I don't need the TRT. So I kind of dropped off it completely. So this is the first time in a long time that in the last 6-7 weeks now I've been, since my injury, essentially a couple weeks into my injury, I just dropped off the TRT. And a lot of you guys are out there going, why the fuck did you do that? Doesn't make any sense. Well, it's just because I ran out. I didn't feel like getting any more. And I was like, ah, fuck, I'll get to it once I start, you know, getting back into the weight again. So I'm holding steady right now at 268. I'm dropping about 2 pounds a week. I came down from 294. My goal is 250. I'm not going to get there by July, unfortunately, this year. But I think 255 is pretty reasonable. Things are heating up. I'm putting some more cardio into my day. And I'm doing a lot of, like I said, a lot of HIIT work right now. And my body, I finally broke that sort of 271, 272 barrier the other day, which I stuck around for about 4 or 5 days. And all of a sudden, bam, the scale went down again. As low as 266, that wasn't real. Then I had a couple 270s, and finally it settled in about 268. So, yeah, I'm super excited about putting this new athletic me to work. Either throwing at Highland Games soon or getting back into my strongman training in July or certainly after vacation. So, okay. Well, I think that's it, right? We'll just finish up with the three of you that heard all that. If you have any questions or comments, please give them to me. I'm going to be posting stuff and clips all week, of course, including the Highland Games from last week when it comes to my commentary on it. If you guys got any questions, just DM me on Instagram. That's the Gym Life Podcast, Even Fit, Stacked, and Jacked. You can go there. And, of course, I'll return anything to you guys, and I'll get some more stuff out about this rankings as we start to get things done. Probably post some stuff on that this week as well. So thank you guys again for joining me. Hope you enjoy the show. Give me some feedback. I appreciate it. Stay tuned, stay fit, and stay strong.